It's time now for Visit Moffitt County, a community affairs program, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffitt County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting. Now here's your host, Tom Kleinschnitz.
Welcome to Visit Moffitt County. This program is a public service announcement opportunity provided by Blizzard Communications. We are grateful for this time for Northwest Colorado citizens to get up to date on what's happening in Moffitt County. I'll be serving as your host today. My name is Tom Kleinschnitz. I currently serve the people of Moffitt County as the director of Moffitt County Tourism. Previously, I was an outfitter and held concession permits with the National Park Service for 33 years in Dinosaur National Monument, as well as other locations in western Colorado and eastern Utah. I have the pleasure of speaking to three individuals today. Each hold very important leadership positions that are working toward making a difference here in our county. First, we have John Miller with the newly formed Northwest Colorado Outdoors. Next, we'll have Todd Wheeler with the Moffitt County Office of Emergency Management. And finally, we'll be having a conversation with the new Craig City Manager, Casey Hume. We're up to bat. Here we go. John, are you with us?
I am. I'm actually calling from the top of a mountain in the forest, snowmobiling today.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's always good to have an outdoor guy doing outdoor stuff. That's absolutely where it should be. As many in the audience are aware, that the Colorado Outdoor Recreation Office has initiated a statewide outdoor initiative in concert with the Department of Natural Resources and the Colorado Parks and Wildlife. Several regional groups have been formed to gather citizen input on outdoor recreation in their areas. You know, Northwest Colorado Outdoors is one of those organizations. Newly formed, John Miller is the Moffitt County coordinator, and we have him today. Welcome, John.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be here.
Beautiful. Before we talk about your work with Northwest Colorado Outdoors, tell us a little about yourself, where you grew up, your career path, and what you brought you to this work.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, I'm a kid who grew up in Craig, Colorado in the 80s. My dad followed the coal boom out in the late 70s, and I basically spent my whole childhood growing up in Craig and Moffitt County. So it's my hometown, and I left in 1994 after graduating high school. And everything I've done in my career in some way has been shaped by growing up here. And so, after high school, I went to college, went to art school, and was fortunate enough to get into the advertising industry. And there I spent about 25 years working in corporate marketing, advertising, brand strategy, and being as an art director, creative director. And I got to work for a lot of Fortune 500 companies, like TBWA, which is the ad agency that ran the Apple brand. Spent 10 years working with Polaris and launching all their vehicle platforms, worked with BRP and Ski-Doo and Vail Resorts, and have actually done quite a bit of nonprofit campaign work as well for National Forest Foundation and Aspen Center for Environmental Studies. And then I led a grassroots movement about 10 years ago called Backcountry United. And we got to a 501c3, and COVID kind of put a kibosh on the momentum we had there. But about 6 years ago, I got involved in an early startup in Utah called Hypercraft, and we got into the electric vehicle technology space. And that company is still kind of taken off and has gotten into the defense tech sector. So kind of touched a lot of different areas with my with my background in really outdoor adventure, and all of these really grew out of my passion for being outdoors. So I've built brands, I've raised capital, I've organized communities around responsible recreation and preserving access to multiple use public land recreation. So, but through all that, yeah, Craig, that you can't take Craig out of the person who grows up there, I think. And when it was time for me to get my family out of the rat race, Craig was the only answer. And the place that raised me, I naturally just wanted to give back and started getting involved in some different things. And I'm also leading the skate park initiative in Craig, working with Moffat County, and that's a kind of a separate project that we're working on as well. And it's a skate park, wheel park for the kids and young families there. And then, Northwest Colorado Outdoors now is an alliance. I think we just wanted to kind of solidify it with our new steering committee that's recently been I think this really can benefit the people and the landscapes that we all care about with this group.
I think it's important for maybe our audience to get the context to start. Northwest Colorado Outdoors, what geographic area does it cover? What's the area?
So basically we're representing Moffat and Rio Blanco County. So between the two counties, they're largest counties in Colorado by land area, and together we cover 8,000 square miles of the northwest corner of Colorado. So including, a lot of the vast opportunities out there. We've got, the Yampa and White Rivers, the Flat Tops Wilderness, Dinosaur National Monument, the Elkhead Mountains, Browns Park, Irish Canyon, 4 million acres of public lands, mostly BLM, National Forest, but also obviously NPS with the monument and a lot of state land, and world-class hunting and fishing and OHV country, obviously deep ranching heritage and world-class river recreation. So, naturally, if you love wild and untamed outdoor experiences, we've got it all, from the mountains to the deserts and the canyons, and we've got everything except the crowd.
Well, there we go. So our job is to work on making sure we properly manage or help our land managers make good decisions to keep our place, our region, very pristine. I understand Associated Governments of Northwest Colorado, known as AGNC, is playing an important role in the group's formation. Can you describe what their role is?
Yeah, so AGNC is essentially our administrative backbone. Without them, I could be doing a lot of things, but, there's a lot of compliance with these grants and, especially public money and public stewardship. We have to be, open record, constant reporting, and, and they have a board that they answer to as well. So, we've got a lot of structure beneath us and behind us, with AGNC and both counties kind of backing this, that we just have to really be on the up and up administratively, and the gals at AGNC really, kind of cross all the T's and dot the I's for us. And beyond that, they bring, obviously local level expertise and connectivity. They bring a lot of credibility because of the work that they already do and are established. It's just really helped us to kind of expedite trust and process and kind of get all the, ducks in a row so that we can be, really impactful and efficient and effective at the work that we're doing.
Well, great. Now, I want to just convert the name to Northwest Colorado Outdoors to NWCO, if you will let me. NWCO is...
Yeah, we call it NewCo.
NewCo is what you're calling it. Okay.
And we're an alliance now, so we're actually NewCo Alliance is kind of our shorthand.
Ah, NewCo Alliance. Can you specifically tell me what you guys are doing right now with the alliance?
Yeah, so right now we're in this really critical phase. We've been kind of scrambling to get all of our formative things in place, like our charter and our plan and our, commissioner, appointed seat. So now we've got a steering committee that can vote. They're committed to all of this. And all of this is what allows us to go after more grant funding. So the GOCO RPI, Regional Partnership Initiative, round comes up again here in June for our letter of intent. And then we'll go back to Denver in August and pitch for, investment that we would like to see for projects across the Northwest Colorado Outdoors Alliance purview. So right now we've got a long list of projects that have kind of been sitting dormant. You know, when I came into this, we heard a lot that we do a lot of planning up here, but we don't do enough implementation. And so, you know, there's a lot of projects that are already kind of lined up. And now it's up to our group and the steering committee to create kind of a decision-making matrix so that we can vet these opportunities and kind of prioritize them based on things like readiness, you know, timing, cost, partnerships, you know, different kind of perspectives that will apply to this list of projects to, you know, go out to GoCo and for our priorities of what we're going to ask for funding in 2026 for 2027 implementation.
Well, can you give us a perspective about how much GoCo funding has been given to Rio Blanco and Moffat counties, and maybe compare that to what's happened up in Rouse County?
Yeah, well, I mean, you can look across the state on GoCo's website and find historic line item, you know, expenses dating back to, I believe, 1994. And, you know, one big insight that kind of emerged while we were getting involved in all of this was, you know, and it's obvious when you drive through Steamboat, you see that there's a lot of capital flowing and a lot of investment that's been happening. And, you know, Rout has brought in or attracted, you know, these are competitive grants, $64 since the inception of GoCo. And relative to that, Moffat County and Rio Blanco have brought in, Rio Blanco's brought in 21.5. And Craig and Moffat County have only brought in 9.4 million. So, you know, between the two counties that we're representing, in total, we're still less than half of what's been invested in Rouse. So, and then obviously Moffat, like we're six times the, you know, what Rouse has gotten. So, it's a pretty big disparity, and you know, folks are aware of it. And I think it's another great just opportunity for us, you know, here and now in 2026 with this regional partnership initiative, you know, grant pledge of $50 million across the state over the next 5 years. You know, I think the state really wants to inject some capital into Northwest Colorado, and this is our opportunity to do so.
So the bottom line is the alliance is putting together a priority list. You're not going to get funding unless you ask for it. So
exactly.
I think that's where you are.
Yeah, it takes quite a bit of organization and partnership building to be attractive for these grants. So, you know, yes, one, you have to ask for it. If you don't ask, you'll never get it. But two, you know, you kind of have to be organized and working together. And that's another big part of attracting this money.
Well, just kind of getting a broad view of things, the future. What are the future operation plans for the Alliance, and what should people know? And maybe also add to that, how can people get involved?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, we're still pretty fresh. A lot of these other regional partnerships across the state, you know, like Rouse County, they've been around over 10 years. So, you know, I've been studying a lot of these other partnerships around the state, and they all take different forms depending on, you know, the variability of what they're dealing with in their area. You know, so I don't fully know exactly how we're going to progress as things kind of materialize in front of us. But, you know, we can see a potential where we'll have, you know, kind of action teams or task forces that'll go and focus on a specific project. Or types of projects. You know, there could be a future where, and I hope that this is how it plays out, that this is a durable organization that we stand up and, you know, at some point we pull away from AG&C and form our own 501c3. And, you know, there's a lot of potential for growth here over the next 5 years and beyond. And so I think that's kind of where I hope to see things progress. You know, I'm just a torchbearer for now. I'll be doing this work at least through the end of 2027, but you know, we'll see how it progresses, and I'll be excited to see, you know, if, what my role might be in the future and beyond. You know, I think another big part of this is that we're locally driven. And so the way that this was kind of shaping up before was, before we kind of got involved in it all, was there was a lot of outside interests that were kind of leading this. And so now, you know, we've really got it locally rooted. We've grounded ourselves in a lot of community surveys, and local insight and knowledge. And so I think it's on the right track, and that's really what's going to direct us for, you know, how things progress as well. We learned a lot through our surveys, and we know that, you know, majority of our residents here want to prioritize stewardship and multiple use access and management on our public lands. We know that we don't want to become the next steamboat or Moab. You know, we hear the Moab effect a lot, where over-tourism becomes a problem. So I think we're trying to kind of, you know, just really create our own future through all of this. And I think that's why it's really important that this takes on a life of its own, and, you know, local stewards can really get involved as it progresses. So as we continue on, we have monthly meetings. They're always in person. We're not doing these in Zoom. So we're kind of doing things the old fashioned way and getting to know each other in person. And so we rotate between Craig, Meeker, and Rangeley, and folks from Dinosaur can kind of come to the Rangeley meetings, and as well as, you know, Western Moffat County, they have more access to our Rangeley meetings sometimes as well. So we'll have our rotating monthly meetings. The public is always welcome to those meetings. We post up on our Facebook page at newco.alliance, or actually I think it's newco.outdoors on Facebook. And then we'll have a website up pretty soon. Also, I think we're going to launch that by the end of the month, and that'll be a place where you can kind of check in, you know, view our plan that we've been writing, you know, our charter, and also stay in touch with, you know, current events and, you know, future meetings. So, you know, there's a lot of communications work that's about to come out, and you'll be able to.
Well, it sounds like there's some great ways of connecting. I just wanted to have you say one more time, the best place right now is information on the Facebook page, and say that name again for us.
Yeah, I think it's newco.outdoors on Facebook.
Okay. And then in the future, you'll have a URL.
And I can't read it right now.
Well, a man up on the hill in a snowmobile. There you go. Well, John, I think it's just absolutely, I want to thank you for joining us today. We really, really appreciate the energy you're putting into this new project. I hope you're joined by many of the Moffat County citizens that get involved with recreation. Again, thank you, John.
And we need more. We need people to get involved. So now that we have our steering committee, we just really want to reiterate that, you know, the public is welcome, and we want people engaged. So we need more representation from Moffat County, and, you know, this is a call to action for folks to feel welcome to join our meeting.
Sounds great. Thank you, Mr. Miller, for joining us. We'll be taking a short break. Our next guest is Todd Wheeler with the Moffat County Office of Emergency Management.
We'll be back with more Visit Moffat County, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffat County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting and heard right here on KRAI Craig, 55 Country at 550 AM and 105.1 FM, and on KRAI FM at 102.3 and 93.7.
When it comes to a gun suicide attempt, all it takes is a moment.
My son, Ricky, took his life by the use of a firearm. It broke me, and I contemplated suicide. My grandson, I was gonna have to be here for him. I still own my firearm. I keep it in a safe because I wanna keep my grandson and myself safe.
Store your guns locked, unloaded, and away from ammo. Hear more safe stories at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Put your phone on D&D. That means that do not disturb when you're driving and when you're going from point A to B. I need you to stay safe, please, so always sing with me. So put your phone on D&D. That means that do not disturb when you're driving and when you're going from point A to B. I need you to stay safe, please, so always remember this beat.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
It's time now for Visit Moffitt County, a community affairs program, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffitt County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting. Now here's your host, Tom Kleinschnitz.
We are back with more of Visit Moffitt County. Our next guest is Todd Wheeler with Moffitt County's Office of Emergency Management. Sergeant Wheeler, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Tom.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you're a busy man. I would like to acknowledge your important work that you do for the county and thank you for it. Our community truly appreciates professionals like you, particularly at a crucial time like this one, as we'll discuss today. Before we tear into what's going on with the Office of Emergency Management, tell us about your work with the county, how you, your history with our community, your career path, and how you came to live in Moffitt County.
Well, came here in 74 with the family, with the coal mines, and have pretty much stayed here my entire life. I took a short hiatus, went to the Front Range for a little bit, decided that wasn't for me. Came back, and just, it's hard to leave this place. when I got back here, the sheriff at that time had hit me up. I'd known him for a while in years past, asked if I would come to work for him. And I thought, well, it's maybe time to get out of the career I was in and take up something new. So I've been stuck here since 2001 in the sheriff's office.
Well, wonderful. I think obviously your career path through the sheriff's office has brought you to this leadership position. And so I think a lot of people in the audience might not fully understand all that your office is responsible for. Could you give us an overview of what the Office of Emergency Management accomplishes for the county?
Well, when I started with the sheriff's office, you know, started off as detentions, moved in patrol, moved up as a sergeant, moved into fire and emergency management. They wanted to combine the two because I was already working, basically running the fire management within the sheriff's office, as the sheriff is the fire warden of the county. Even though we have two small fire districts within the county. So, you know, when I took over as emergency manager about 3 years ago and brought in fire management at the same time with it to try and see if we could do it, both offices combined, it's created a big workload. So, I mean, our purview is, you know, to help develop those preparedness and prevention plans, help maintain the continuity of operations amongst the county and departments and the other agencies and other first responders within this county. We work very closely with the mitigation side of things, with the Forest Service, Colorado State Forest Service, to help implement policies and programs to reduce hazards. We try to coordinate local resources during critical incidents such as disasters, such as fires and floods, and then also oversee the emergency notification system for the residents for disasters and emergency alerts and community alerts. That's our Moffitt Alerts regroup that we just switched over to.
Yes, I did get that notice from you about that alert system. And just to kind of go to that for a moment, those cards that are available at the Moffitt County Visitor Center, I'm sure they're available at the courthouse, but they're there for people to have set themselves up to have that emergency notifications, correct?
That's correct. I mean, that is the first line of notifications because there is just not enough first responders within this county to go door to door. And we rely on emergency notifications either by phone call, text message, or email, or by the app itself to get that notification out that something's going on. And it can be something as simple as a road closure to, you know, a wildfire that may be in the area. And there'll be alerts not only just telling you to pre-evac or evacuation, but they're just letting you know that, you know, to expect smoke in the area, but maybe there's no concern for it this time, but it gives you a heads up to start monitoring the situation.
Well, certainly, I think the biggest thing that's on everyone's mind, there are a lot of emergencies that it sounds like you guys cover, and road closures, floods, and that kind of thing. But the obvious challenge before us this far is the fire season. What kind of season do you think we're looking at for Moffat County? Is this significant?
Well, I never judge a fire season until November because we can't predict the weather. But, you know, when we started off with the lowest recorded snowpack in history and we had red flag days and fire weather watches in March, that's not a good indicator. I mean, we've had some good rains and snows coming back here lately. It's helped immensely, but it's not replenishing the water supply. It's not replenishing the rivers. It's not, you know, filling up the reservoirs. So it's going to create, you know, a major concern for all the agencies, for the sheriff's office, for the fire districts, for the federal agencies. And looking at the anticipated forecast, we're good right now with the weather we're receiving, but it's anticipated come June, we're going to get back into a normal weather pattern and start seeing the high temps and the low RHs. And that's just going to, you know, drop the fuel moistures and the fuels that are out there in the sage and the grass. And then we've had some of the vegetation that tried to bud out early and green up early and then froze. So that vegetation is going to stay dead and for the rest of the year.
And I take it that that is a fire hazard in itself.
Oh, it's an extreme fire hazard. I mean, we usually rely on, you know, aspen groves and green oak brush and green sagebrush to help slow the fire spread. But the sagebrush will probably green up. But it'll only be for a short time. But traveling the roads here in the last couple of weeks, I've noticed the aspen trees, a lot of them had frozen and probably will not bud out and green up. And a lot of the oak brush in the county. So I'm not sure if it froze or if it's just late green up. But that's a very major concern because it's like gasoline if it doesn't green up.
Well, that sounds like it's just adding up to a lot of things. I mean, clearly we had a huge fire incident in Rio Blanco County last year, but even in Moffat County, we had some significant fires.
We did. We had four significant fires. One just right within the city limits of Craig, that, you know, a lot of people have always thought that, you know, Craig is protected well. Well, we had what's called a wildland urban interface fire right within the city limits that threatened a lot of homes, and it took a lot of agencies to work that fire and mitigate it.
Well, it certainly, I've witnessed it, and most residents of the county did see that and the remnants of that, and that was certainly something that gives one pause. I think for residents and visitors, we all enjoy the outdoors as part of living in Northwest Colorado. Could you describe where we are with fire bans and what might be anticipated for levels of fire bans and what they mean to our visitors and our residents about just enjoying the backcountry?
Sure. You know, this is the first year we've ever even considered the possibility of going into fire restrictions in March. You know, in my 25 years working in the sheriff's office and working in fire and emergency, this is the first year we've ever seen that. And so we've always had the ability to go in and out of fire restrictions with sheriff's office and with the county commissioners. And this year we started looking at what we were seeing and what were the main causes of the fires that we'd seen so early. And we developed or revamped our current fire ban ordinance. And the commissioners will actually be meeting on it next Tuesday to do the final discussion on it and approve it if they see fit. And basically what it will do is it will ban all fires, agricultural burns, trash burns, on red flag or fire weather watch days. And those are the days of the most concern because we have the high winds, the low RHs, and creates the most probability for fire spread should it escape. And it also require anybody conducting a burn, an agricultural burn or a trash burn, to notify our local dispatch with just a simple phone call. And that does two things. That gives us a heads up that they're conducting a burn and that we're not sending emergency resources on a false alarm. And two, it confirms if there is a red flag or fire weather watch that day as to whether it'll be safe to burn. And it also cleaned up some of the confusion for, you know, what you could, couldn't have, you know, at your residence or at a campsite. And, you know, this will allow, you know, people to, you know, continue to have their fire pits if they're in approved fire pits. They'll be able to have their gas grills or propane grills. It'll also allow them to have pellet grills, as in previous years, those were banned. So, yes, we did make it a little bit more restrictive, but we also made it more convenient for folks as well.
Well, I'm sure communication is a huge part of that, and we'll offer ourselves and others for getting the word out. This will be an important year for that. What can an average citizen do to best prepare for a fire event? How should they start?
Well, the first thing they need to start it with is mitigate around their property. They need to, you know, mitigate the vegetation around the residence and your outbuildings. You know, trees need to be 50 to 100 foot away from the residence. I know everybody likes to have trees right up against their house. Well, depending on those type of trees, that's just what's called a ladder fuel that's going to lead fire right to your residence. You know, you need to keep the grass mowed. Try and use fire-resistant plants. Stay away from the shrub-type plants like cedars and things. Keep lumber and wood materials or flammable materials away from your buildings. Make sure you have means in the soffits of your residence and in your garage. Sparks have a tendency to find their way into that due to the draft system of the residence. You know, use fire-wise building materials, you know, fire-resistant-type materials. You know, again, the metal screens and the soffits, metal roofs, you know, and for more information on that, you can go to what's called the NFPA, National Fire Protection Association, FireWise. You can Google it. They have checklists in there and suggestions, and that's the best information you can go off.
Well, that sounds like a good place for that information. If people have specific information that they'd like from you and your department, how would they, what's the best place to look at a website locally or a phone number they should have for at their fingertips?
About the best way to do it, Tom, is go to the Moffat County government website, look for emergency management. All my contact information is there. My email's there. My office phone is there. They can reach out. It has information on the website as well, and it also has some links leading to places like FireWise and that they can go to. But, you know, I tell residents, you know, please reach out. If you have questions, you have comments, concerns, you know, my email, my phone number is there. I get back to you as quick as I can. If I'm on fire or if I'm on an emergency somewhere, it may take me a day or two, but I will get back to you.
Great. Well, is there anything else that the audience should know about emergency management?
You know, I ask people to make sure they have go kits ready at their residence. You know, make sure you got your medications, important documents, you know, some water, some food, snacks, your cell phone, pet supplies, you know, maybe an extra set of clothing, sleeping bag. Have those ready to go, especially for the residents out there in the rural areas. Make sure you have a plan in place for you and your family if you do get separated for a meetup location. Now, when we send those alerts out, we will, if there's, you know, any sort of a shelter or anything like that, we will send that information out in that emergency alert. You know, and, you know, with our primary disasters being wildland fires, blizzards, and floods, they all require preparation. Have that go bag, sign up for the MOF alerts. And one of the big things we have seen in this county is residents. Address signs. If we can't find your address, we sometimes it will delay our response. So make sure your address is clearly posted at the front of your driveway so that we can see it.
Well, it sounds like a bunch of things that people should put in place. This is a serious year for those considerations. I thank you, Sergeant Wheeler, for joining us today. Again, people can pull up the Moffat County website to get more information. Thank you for joining us.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Well, thank you. We'll be right back with more of Visit Moffat County. Our next guest is Craig's City Manager, Casey Yu.
We'll be back with more Visit Moffat County, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffat County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting and heard right here on KRAI Craig, 55 Country at 550 AM and 105.1 FM, and on KRAI FM at 102.3 and 93.7.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument, the rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, the sticky melody.
Hey, careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
My mom has decided to learn to paint, and she's good.
My dad's now into creative cuisine, and I've already put on 6 pounds.
Learning new things comes with age.
My mom, she started forgetting my name and what we're talking about.
Forgetting well-known things doesn't. Memory loss may be a sign of Alzheimer's disease. Early detection gives you and your loved one time to plan for the future. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
It's time now for Visit Moffat County, a community affairs program, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffat County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting. Now here's your host, Tom Kleinschnitz.
We're back with more of Visit Moffat County. Our next guest is the new Craig City Manager, Casey Hume. Welcome, Casey.
Good morning, Tom. How are you today?
Oh, doing great, man. It's just one of those wonderful Moffat County days out there.
It is. The sun is out. The skies are blue. You can't beat it.
You just can't beat where we're headed. We're certainly want to hear about what's happening with City of Craig and your new position. But first, I think many people in the county know you. You've been elected sheriff 3 times and certainly been part of public service for decades here. But for those that don't know you, new residents or the visitors that are coming here, could you describe how you came to live in Moffat County, your career path, and what brought you to this new position?
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. Thank you. I appreciate the question. I appreciate the opportunity to be a part of the conversation today. So, yeah, for folks that don't know who I am, Casey Hume, I was raised in Moffat County. I have been here most of my childhood and adult life. My father was the district judge, had a wonderful upbringing in the Craig and Moffat County area. Pleasure, super blessed to call it my home currently to this day. I have 2 adult children, one who just recently graduated from college, the other who will graduate later this month from high school. And then I'd be remiss if I didn't mention my lovely bride of almost 30 years, the foundation of the Hume family, if you will. But from a professional lens, I have spent all of my adult life in public service. I was 33 years in law enforcement, as you had mentioned, a 3-term elected sheriff of Moffat County. Coupled with that, I spent over 2 decades in the fire service, retiring as the fire chief of Craig Fire Rescue in 2022. Most recently, for 10, 11 months after my retirement, I worked as the operations superintendent at Yampa Valley Regional Airport. So while the city manager role is new for me, serving the public certainly is not. My career path, if you will, has been largely built around public safety, problem solving, emergency response, organizational leadership, and working with people both during routine, everyday experiences and obviously in those times of difficulty and strife. So.
Well, you certainly have served the community for decades, and you're well-known for those that have been here. As you start this new position as the Craig City Manager, what challenges have immediately surprised you about your new position?
Well, gosh, Tom, I would say there hasn't been one singular surprise, but I've been reminded in the short 3 weeks that I have in this role of how broad municipal government really is. The city of Craig, touches people's lives every single day, whether it's water, wastewater, streets, parks, recreation, public safety, economic development, our phenomenal museum, other facilities, internal operations, and much more. It's very wide-ranging, and the pace is steady. The other thing that stands out is how many significant issues are moving at the same time. Craig is dealing with energy transition, really focusing on economic development, housing needs, infrastructure, water concerns. We're looking at potential significant drought conditions that not only we are facing, but the entire state is facing, recreation opportunities, and really our long-term community identity. And this is all happening at once. What has not surprised me is that the quality and the dedication of the people working for the city. There's a lot of institutional knowledge that's a part of our employee and our team base here. Early on, my job is really to listen, to learn, to ask good questions, support staff, and then help council and the organization really make decisions that are not only sound, but are in the best interest of the citizens of Craig. I think the challenge is not that Craig lacks opportunity. The challenge is sequencing capacity and engagement and making sure we are realistic about what the city can do, what it should do, what requires partnerships to achieve ultimate goals that are for the betterment of our community and our city.
Well, just quite a balancing act, and certainly you've referenced a lot of things that the city is involved with, and I concur that certainly that the actions of what happens in the city touches every citizen every single day. One thing that happens that people are interested in, and maybe you have a progress report on the 8th Street project. I know that in the coffee shops and around, that seems to be a point of discussion. Do you have anything that the council has pointed at with you as that project goes into the future?
Yeah, as I mentioned, there's a lot of moving parts on any given day with respect to the city. The 8th Street project is an important housing-related discussion for the city, the Craig Housing Authority, and I would be remiss if I didn't offer up that it's been a complicated project. And I want to be super careful not to oversimplify that. Again, early on in my role, I see a perspective now that is from the city manager's seat as opposed to a citizen. So I understand the conversation that's going on, that's happening every day within our community. So at a really high level, the property and the project have been evaluated for potential housing use. The city and the housing authority have been working through questions about feasibility and partnership structure, development approach, and how to responsibly move forward. One of the key realities is that that housing projects in general are not about simply having land or interest. They require legal structure and financing, infrastructure, development capacity, long-term management considerations, and all things that the council and the housing authority have been working through. And my role and my approach is to help make sure decision makers have good information, that the options are clearly laid out, and that future action is practical and defensible. Craig needs housing, but the city really needs to be and should be careful about how it participates in development projects. So we're moving forward, and hopefully we will have tenants in the 8th Street housing project in the near future.
Great, great. Well, one real positive thing, at least certainly in my view, is the Craig River Park is opening this year. I had the opportunity to float through it recently, and the upland pieces there are just absolutely wonderful. Could you tell us about that asset and maybe the opportunities and challenges ahead with that new asset down on the river?
Yeah, absolutely. The Craig River Park is a super exciting project for the city and our community, and I would say our region. It gives Craig a stronger connection to the river, creates new recreational opportunities, and has the potential to become a meaningful community and visitor asset into the future. When communities think about the quality of life, parks and rec are at the top of the list, along with a couple of other core services that a municipality can deliver. So the River Park can serve residents, families, youth, visitors, boaters, any one of a number of individuals from our community or outside our community who just want a place to enjoy being outside. The opportunity is significant. It supports our efforts, not only here for local recreation, but hopefully bringing in folks from outside of the area, and really should be held up as a significant accomplishment for our community. So from a community pride perspective, I think it's really important that we elevate that as well. And as you mentioned, the challenges, we're going to be opening a park that we're trying to get to the finish line. It's been a journey. You look at it from the standpoint, it hasn't been a sprint, it's been a marathon. And so we're almost there at the finish line. I think tentatively at some date after our Whittle the Wood rendezvous event is held here in June, that we'll have an official ribbon cutting and open that park.
Well, I just absolutely think that's going to be a great asset. And I would echo everything you've said. It's a great opportunity for not only Craig, but the region for attracting visitors. Speaking along those lines, you know, transportation services are always in the mix of how to move people around the city, but there's prospects for a passenger rail service from Craig to Denver. Can you update us or tell us of your perspective of what that might mean to the city?
Sure. You know, passenger rail is one of those conversations that naturally creates interest, because who doesn't like trains? I mean, quite frankly. But it has the potential to affect very positively not only transportation, tourism, potentially economic development and connectivity to the region in another capacity. So would it be an asset to Craig and Moffat County? Conceptually, yes. But it's how it's laid out. It brings connectivity from the Front Range and back from us to the Front Range, if you will. It has a number of benefits for locals and visitors, future development, investment, and it could certainly position Craig differently as our region and our community. But I think we need to approach it with both optimism and realism, quite frankly. Passenger rail is super complex. It takes time. So the city is engaged in process right now to truly understand what that means from a standpoint of funding and infrastructure, operations, the partnerships that will need to be in place, both locally, the state level, and federal involvement for sustainability over the long term. So something we are certainly working on, and we look forward to the continued effort.
Well, planning is certainly a huge part of that. One thing that you mentioned at the beginning of the interview and things that we need to really consider for this particular year is the extra steps that we may need to take for fire danger. What's the city looking at for pre-planning? What advice might you have for residents concerning a fire season that might be challenging in front of us?
Yeah, and some of that, obviously, Tom, is based off of my experience as the elected sheriff and then in the fire service role as well. Fire danger, it fluctuates based off of environmental and other factors, but it's always something that we need to take seriously here in Northwest Colorado. And I think most of our residents understand that, and they pay attention. The city's role is really operational and cooperative. So working with our partners at Craig Fire Rescue and the Moffat County Sheriff's Office, engaging with the emergency management effort, our law enforcement partners in preparing. Most recently, there was a evening FireWise fire readiness meeting that took place, and we participated as a part of that, as well as informing residents on how they can take necessary steps to create defensible space and be prepared if we do have fire danger that we move into fire restrictions or otherwise based off of weather and fire conditions. We're looking at potentially a significant impact from the low that we received over the course of this most recent winter and low river flows from that standpoint. So I think the message is for our citizens to to remain informed. We'll be a part of that information flow. Pay attention to restrictions if and when they do go into effect, and ask questions about what they can or should do as the fire danger and the fire conditions worsen over the course of the summer. Hopefully the monsoonal flows will return and be a normal flow for us, and that will help mitigate some of that fire danger as we move through the summer.
Well, I tell you that I have a lot more questions that I wanted to ask you today, but you're so thorough at answering questions that we'll just simply have to arrange to have you on again in the future, maybe after a few months of tearing into this wonderful opportunity that you've taken on. I would like to mention just right as we kind of finish is that Whittle the Wood, you've mentioned it before in the interview, is coming up. The venue changed from the down at Loudy Simpson, and it's now at the fairgrounds. Can you tell us any more about the event this year that's the public should know?
Well, we're looking to have an absolutely, yet again, wonderful Whittle the Wood rendezvous hosted by the City of Craig. The venue change over to Loudy Simpson Park is multifaceted. One of it is it provides a larger area for some of the collateral activities and support functions. And it also provides a significant frontage to the highway and just the increased visibility for the rendezvous and over the course of the weekend or leading into the weekend. As I think you're aware, Tom, the carvers start work Thursday of that weekend leading into the Whittle the Wood rendezvous. So great partnership with our friends at Moffat County, supporting the venue change back from Loudy Simpson over to the fairgrounds here in Craig.
Great. Well, it's the 26th annual, and I'm sure there'll be another 26. So that's an amazing event that the city certainly has had a lot of success hosting.
Well, you know, there's a ton of events to interrupt very briefly that
sure.
We just celebrated the 40th annual Where's the Hell Maybell bike ride just recently here. So lots of long-term continuing events that really do highlight what Craig and Northwest Colorado is all about. So glad that we are a part of that as well.
Well, is there anything else that we should end with that you want to make sure that the public knows that's going on at the city?
Well, you know, I appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate the future invitation. Love to loop back around after a little bit of time in the role and see how things are going on. I think communication is a vital part of how the community and their government and the services that they're receiving interact with one another. You know, we're facing a lot of change, but our community has always been resilient. As I mentioned, I think the path forward is going to require honesty and partnerships and patience and willingness while we all engage in the hard work for the City of Craig and our community.
Great. So what's the connector? What's the best way for people to get information about what's happening at the city?
Oh, gosh, there's several means. The world that we live in today, obviously, you can jump on the city's website and gather a host of information. Our contact information for phone numbers and emails are a part of that. Or simply swing by City Hall. City Hall is open from 7:30 in the morning until 5:30 in the evening, Monday through Thursday, and then from 7:30 in the morning to 11 a.m. on Fridays. We would love to see folks just stop in and have a cup of coffee and talk about what's happening in their orbit and how the city can be a part of making our community all that it can.
Well, I thank you, Mr. Hume, for joining us today. We truly wish you the best of success in your new position.
Well, thank you again, Tom. The best to you as well.
This has been another edition of Visit Moffat County. We here in Moffat County live in a time of profound changes. Our challenges must now be converted into opportunities. Moffat County has a rich heritage of strong-willed determination. This Visit Moffat County segment highlights citizen outcomes that positively impact our community. Visit Moffat County wants you to remind each of you of the power you hold as we make a difference and make the adjustments for the future. As we had great guests today reflect those changes, we're on our way to some wonderful things. If your organization would like to participate in future broadcasts, contact me at Moffat County Tourism in Craig at 970-824-2335. Information on Moffat County, including important upcoming events, can also be found online at visitmoffettcounty.com. Again, we thank Blizzard Communications for this public announcement opportunity. Good day.
Thanks for listening to Visit Moffett County, an informative show on everything that's going on in and around Moffett County, made possible by Blizzard Broadcasting and heard right here on KRAI Craig, 55 Country at 550 AM and 105.1 FM, and on KRAI FM at 102.3 and 93.7.